A God who is acquainted with all of our ways, whether it is time of sunshine in our life or time of sadness, God is with us no matter what we are facing. We can get the screen turned on here in the front, please. We also send our condolences to the Fletcher family as Edith passed away, and her memorial service will be in July next month. As we have come to seek the Lord, I'd like to invite you to bow your heads. Loving Father, we thank you because you are good. You are faithful. And we come to you because you are our God. We come to you and we come to you by faith as we claim your promises. And so, Father, as we worship you on this Sabbath day, may you fill us and speak to us. And may we learn more of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. God is, we're still not getting signal up here in the front. But it's interesting. People think that God is many, many different things. But our God is beyond comprehension. Who is God? Do you know who God is? Oh, there it's coming. Our God, according to Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, God doesn't have to introduce himself to us. He just is. In the beginning, God. Period. He is, which is different from not being. He is real, according to Genesis chapter 1, 1. Because some could be thinking, well, this creator God, is he the God of the Old Testament or the God of the New Testament? Because when I read in the Gospels, I kind of really like that God, where Jesus is healing people over there and raising people over here. But the Old Testament God, I'm not too sure about that God, because maybe they're two different gods. Well, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Turn with me there to see what the Bible says right before the book of Matthew. Matthew 3, verse 6. The Bible says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Furthermore, the Bible says, Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God doesn't change. Amen? The ones who need changing would be us. But God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so this Old Testament God versus the New Testament God, really, that's, he's the same God. Amen? See, the Bible says, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, he is what? He's one. He's the same. He's not changing. He's the one who was, who is, and is to come. That is our God. Well, if he is one God, well, then who is he? He's one God. 1 John 4, verse 8, the Bible says, right before the book of Revelation in that neck of the woods, he who does not love does not know God, for God is what? Love. he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Unequivocally, unapologetically, God is love. Amen? Isn't that good news? Our God is love. Our God is not hate. Our God is the one who welcomes us as his own. Our God is the one who is preparing a place for us as we speak in heaven. Praise God. So God is love. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says. And since he created the heavens and the earth, which God created the heavens and the earth? Well, the Bible says, I am God and there is what? No other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done. So our God is the only true God, right? Because he is God and there's no more. You can look, but you're not going to find him. And if you do find something, that's not God. That's an imposter. So this God who created the heavens and the earth, he's the only true God, but not just that, he is love. So our God is our loving, our only God. You see, if you go to Genesis chapter 1, I did something not that long ago, and I took my red marking pen. For those of you who like marking your Bibles, I took my red marking pen, and everywhere where it says in Genesis 1:1 that it says the name God, I underlined it in red. Why? Because God is love. And I started seeing something visually. There was red all over the place. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, we find our loving God. He's referenced, you want to take a guess how many times? A couple times? 20? 31 times. What's also interesting is that in Genesis chapter 1, there's 31 verses. It's almost as if God is saying, I am love, in every verse, so that we start getting it. Our creative, our creator, our only God, he is love, and it says so in Genesis chapter 1. Amen? You see, our loving God, he's alive. Our loving God, he's with us, Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, because the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. He is the God who speaks to us. He is not silent. In fact, he's talking to you right now. In what is being said and what the Holy Spirit has been impressing you, even though nobody's up here preaching, God has been talking to you. And we have a God who acts. Maybe you were praying for God to act in your life this week. Did God come through? Sure did. And he's the God who creates, and he creates out of nothing. He doesn't need something to create. He just does, because he is God. He can do the impossible. What does God create, and why does he create? The Bible says, Exodus 20, verse 11. We know those verses very well, but we'll turn to them anyway. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, the Bible, Exodus, says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So the Bible tells us that God made what? Everything. Made everything. I know this past week in Sabbath school, our lesson was touching on the reality of God as our creator. You see, he made everything. He made the pretty flowers, and then he made the even in my estimation, the prettiest flower of them all, that's my wife. He made your spouse. He made your family. He made your church family. He made your neighbors. He made everything that there is. I mean, even your sassy cat. He made your cat. He made your ever tail wagging dog. He made your dog. All expressions of the love of God. Who taught my dog how to love? I don't know, but they just keep on happening, keep on loving. Even if sometimes I'm not the best owner. God made them all. You see, even during Sabbath school, there was a hummingbird trying to get into church because they realized, you know what, this is the house of God, I need to be there, because the house of God is a great place to be. God knew, the hummingbird knew who made them. God did. Did God need light? No. Did God need the sky or the firmament? Did he need dry land and vegetation? Did he need the sun, moon, and stars? Did he need the fish and the birds? Did he need the land, animals, and mankind? Did he need the Sabbath? No. He didn't need all these things, but I'll tell you who does. We do. We need these things. He made all these things because, get this, he loves you. He knew that we would need these things. If you're not crazy about trees, praise God for the trees, especially on a hot day like today, You can bask in its shadow and be blessed by the coolness provided thereof. You see, it takes love to create. Literally. It takes love so that couples can procreate. Amen? Look at this. Nature and revelation alike testify of God's what? Love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. The sunshine and the rain, the gladden and refresh the earth. The hills, the seas, the plains, all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all his creatures. Steps of Christ, page 9. If you are in need today of something that you need God to do, you're at a great place. You know why? Because it would be a much, much worse situation if I thought I was not in need. If I thought that maybe I don't need God. The wicked has said in his heart, there is no God. Why did God create the Sabbath? Because he needed it? No, we do. You see, Mark chapter 2, verse 27 and 28, the Bible says, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. Wherefore the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. You see, we go to bed at night and we wake up in the morning. I know that sounds like common sense, but you see, everything that we work with, so to speak, that like turns on, we either have to put a battery in it or plug it in. But us, there's no battery, really. We don't plug in anywhere. We're alive. We keep on going. Why? Because God made our bodies to do so. And one day a week, on the Sabbath day, on Saturday, we come to be with our loving Creator. because God knew that we would actually need him. Do you need God? I know I do. If God is love, then why do we think that maybe he isn't? Because maybe you could be sad with what just happened this past week. God, if you're really God, if you're really love, then why did you allow my loved one to pass? God, if you're really love, then why did you allow this atrocity to happen to my family member? If you're really love, then why did you allow me to lose my job? Or maybe, God, if you're really love, then why would you allow such scary things to be clouding my mind so that I can't even sleep at night? I am so terrified of the situation that I'm in, and I don't know what to do. You call yourself a God of love? Or maybe what has occurred has made me so angry. If you really love me, God, then why? Because what they did is almost unforgivable. Anger grips us. Who could possibly want us to think that that God isn't love? Oh, that's right. An enemy has indeed done this. That's who would want us to think that maybe God is not love. You see, the devil claims that God isn't love, not just that, but that God isn't fair, and last but not least, that God's law is not love. All three of those statements are all lies. Is God love? Is God fair? Is God's law love? Isn't that why Jesus said, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength"? And you shall love your neighbor as your... That kind of sounds like a lot of love if you ask me. Praise the Lord. You see, if God is love, then why do bad things happen? Maybe you've asked that question. Well, once upon a time, true story. Roses did not have thorns. Today we're used to thorns. In fact, we get close to a rose and we're already ready, prepared. Okay, it's sharp. I need to move my fingers so that I can grab the rose. But there used to not be thorns on the roses. Not just that, but the leaves would stay on the trees. We wouldn't have to break out our rakes as we now do in the beginning. You see, God told Adam and Eve, you can eat from any tree of the garden. Tree here, tree there, tree everywhere, except one. That tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat from that tree. Don't get close to the tree. Bad things will happen if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Specifically, you will die. You see, the devil was saying before he kicked out, you know, people only follow you because you give them all these blessings. If you weren't so loving, they wouldn't follow you. You're just buying them. They really don't love you. They're not loving you out of their own choice. And so God gave Adam and Eve freedom of choice, just like God gave the angels freedom of choice, because if he had not done so, then a third of the angels would not have been cast out, because they made the choice to listen to lies that the tempter shared with them. To the right or to the left. God has given us freedom of choice. And you see, love can only be reciprocated with what else? Love. As God loves, what would be natural? What would be expected that would be reciprocated? That would be the very same thing. Love. John 14, 15, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, it's a matter of love, even if it's not February 14th. You see, true obedience comes from receiving grace from above, because that is what motivates us to love. Acts of the Apostles, page 562, in reference to John the disciple, John tells us that true love for God will be revealed in obedience to all his commandments. It is not enough to believe the theory of truth, to make a profession of faith in Christ, to believe that Jesus is no imposter, and that the religion of the Bible is no cunningly devised fable. John did not teach that salvation was to be earned by obedience, but that obedience was the fruit of faith and what? And love. You see, we love for he first loved us. Amen? If God is love, then why do bad things happen to good people? Maybe you've asked that. Maybe others around you have asked that question. If God is love, then why do bad things happen to good people? It doesn't make sense. Well, let's pause there for just a second. The Bible says they have what? All turned aside. They have together become what? Corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Psalms 14, verse 3. Bad things happening to good people. Well, that's an interesting statement, because my Bible tells me that nobody's good. Amen? I'm not good. You're not good, the Bible says. But I do know one who is good, and his name is Jesus. Or maybe some say, I don't need to go to church because I'm a good person. That's funny. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 23. If all have sinned, then who needs a Savior? Is that you? Is that me? You better believe it. But God still shows his love. But God demonstrates his own love towards us. He shows us his love. He lavishes us with his love. How? In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God. You see, love demands a response. What's that response? It's love. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Are we all still sinners? Amen. The question is, will we go to the one who is love? Will we go to the one who loves us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God not only is love in his nature, but he's a loving God, and he loves you no matter what you've done. Luke 19, verse 10, the Bible says about this loving God. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Is that you? You see, our God doesn't just come and say, oh, I see you, Sam. Oh, I see you, Ana Maria. Oh, I see you, Bill. No, he comes to seek and to save. He doesn't just say, oh man, you in quite the predicament. You messed up now. God doesn't do that. The Bible says that when Adam and Eve sinned, he came after them saying, where are you? Because I want you with me. That is our God, the one who so loved us and gave his life for us. I don't know about you, but I want to love this God. How about you? And I don't want to love him less. I want to love him more. Because he died for me. Revelation 19:11, the Bible tells us of something soon to happen. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 and on, the Bible says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. This loving God who died for your sins and for mine is coming soon. He's coming soon, and the Bible says that his garments are dipped with blood. Why? Oh, that's right. He must love you. He must love me. The great controversy is ended. Sin and sinners are no more. The entire universe is clean. One pulse of harmony and gladness beats through the vast creation. From him who what? Created all, flow life and light and gladness throughout the realms of illimitable space. From the minutest atom to the greatest world, all things animate and inanimate in their unshadowed beauty and perfect joy declare that what? God is love. There is a day coming in which the liar and his lies will be done away with. The one about that God isn't love. The one who said that God is not fair and that his law is not love. Over this, the great controversy hinges on the character of God. And the Bible tells me and tells you, God is love. May we love